माधव की श्री प्रभुपाद की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 एंटाइटल्ड द साइंस ऑफ गॉड चैप्टर 1 द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इज इक्वल टू एवरीवन वर्स नंबर 24 हिंसा तद अभिमानेन दंड पारुष्ययोर्यथा वैश्यम इह भूतानां मम अहम् इति पार्थिव हिंसा तद अभिमानेन दंड पारुषयोरथा वैषम्यम इह भूतानां मम अहम् इति पार्थिव हिंसा तदभिमानेन दंड पारुषयोर्यथा वैषम्यम इह भूतानां मम अहम् इति पार्थिव सतत अभिमानेन दंड पारुषयोर्यथा वैषम्यम इह भूतानां माताजी हिंसा सफरिंग तत् ऑफ दिस अभिमानेन बाय द फॉल्स कंसेप्शन दंड पारुष्ययो व्हेन देयर इज पनिशमेंट एंड चेस्टाइजमेंट यथा Just as Vaisamyam misconception Iha here Bhutanam of the living entities Mam Aham mine and I Iti thus Parthiva O Lord of the earth Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear King, the conditioned soul being in the bodily conception of life, considers his body to be his self and considers everything in relationship with the body to be his. Because he has this wrong conception of life, he is subjected to dualities like praise and chastisement. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Only when a conditioned soul accepts the body as himself does he feel the effects of chastisement or praise. Then he determines one person to be his enemy and another his friend, and wants to chastise the enemy and welcome the friend. This creation of friends and enemies is a result of one's bodily conception of life. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Nama. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Thinamine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, verse number 24, translation. My dear King, the conditioned soul, being in the bodily conception of life, considers his body to be self and considers everything in relationship with the body to be his. Because he has this wrong conception of life, he is subjected to dualities like praise and chastisement. Hare Krishna. So in the assembly of Yudhisthira Maharaj, this verse is spoken by Narad Muni. As compared to Lord Krishna, who has a transcendental body, the conditioned soul, Bad Atma, Jeev, has a material body. To explain the difference, Narad Muni says that only a conditioned soul who has a material body and who considers his material body as self experiences dualities. Since Krishna does not have a material body, so there is no point of Krishna considering that he is body. Krishna's body and Krishna himself, the person, these two are one. It is not that there is Krishna and inside that body, inside that transcendental body, there is some living entity or some super soul, Paramatma. No. Krishna's transcendental body and Krishna, the person, these two are same. In fact, even the soul who is liberated, who is in the spiritual kingdom, has a spiritual body, but the soul is equal to the spiritual body. There is no duality of body soul in the spiritual world. Only when by some miscalculation the pure living entity comes down to the material existence, the duality starts. The soul which comes down and takes a material body is called conditioned soul. And when the person is serving Krishna in the spiritual world, naturally that is called constitutional position. The living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. So being part and parcel of Krishna, the soul has all the qualities of Krishna in minute quantity, almost all. Just like the ocean drop has same qualities as the ocean, same chemical composition, but in minute quantity. If the ocean water is salty, the drop will be sweet? No, the drop will also be salty. But the amount of salt present in the ocean is more, and the quantity of salt present in the drop is less. But both are salty. So in the same way, whatever qualities we see a person possesses, we should know that this quality has come from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you happen to see somebody beautiful, very beautiful, then we should know this beauty comes from Krishna. Krishna is equal to beauty. Krishna is so beautiful that after seeing him, we will not use the word beautiful anywhere else. He is so beautiful. Sundar. Shyam Sundar. He is Shyam. Shyam means black, but still beautiful. Generally people think black is not beautiful. Only white is beautiful. That's why girls apply this fair and lovely cream, thinking if we become fair, then we'll become lovely, then we'll become beautiful. But that's not true. Even black is lovely. Even black is beautiful. And what is the proof? Shyam. He is black, but he is so beautiful that every living entity in Vrindavan would get attracted to his beauty. Not just the young damsels of Brajbhumi, the peacocks, the deers,
the cows, the plants, the creepers, the coward boys, other bajwasis, everybody would get attracted to his beautiful form. Even Kaliya, who attacked Krishna with his poison, when he first time saw Krishna, he was amazed. Oh, such a beautiful boy. This is Shyam. Shyam Sundar. Once Krishna, he was walking in his palace in Dwarka. Now Krishna's palace has pillars. And pillars has big, big diamonds. Diamond stones. Where one can see own reflection. So big like mirror. So as walking, Krishna saw his own reflection in one of the pillar. And he stopped walking. And he thought, oh, who is this beautiful boy? He gets attracted to his own beauty. So we see so-called beauty in this world, we should remember, this is very small quantity visible. The actual source is Krishna, who is highly beautiful. We see some strength in this world. We should know this strength comes from Krishna, who is so strong that he lifted the Govardhan hill in his left hand, smallest finger of his left hand, 7 days, 7 nights continuous, without having any fracture or pain or anything like that in his hand. That's his strength. If you see anybody honest in this world, then we should know that honesty comes from Krishna. He is honest. He is truthful. If you see intelligence in this world, then that intelligence comes from Krishna. If you see robber in this world, then the stealing comes from Krishna. He is Makhanchor, the most expert thief. He would steal butter even when the room is dark, even when the butter is hidden. Even when it is in unreachable places. That's Krishna. He's perfect thief. But the difference is when he steals, he is worshipped. But if we steal, we are punished. But the stealing skill comes from Krishna. Every single skill or quality existing in the society, in the creation, comes from Krishna. There cannot be anything which has a source other than Krishna. He is the cause of all causes. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidanand Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Kadanam, cause of all causes. Janma Adi Asyayataha, he is the source of everything. So there is one quality in Krishna called Swarat. Swarat means independent. Krishna is fully independent. Whatever he wants, whenever he wants, he can do. However he wants. That is his freedom. He is fully independent to do anything and everything. Nobody can question him. That is the meaning of Swaraj, independence. You can't question him, why did you do this? Why did you appear in Vrindavan, Mathura, Uttar Pradesh? Why not in Mumbai, Juhu, or Madhya Pradesh, or Chhattisgarh, or Punjab? We can't ask him this. If you ask him this, you know what will he say? This is Meri Marzi. That's freedom. That's free will. He is completely free to do whatever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants. He gave mercy to Putana, who came to kill him with poison, and he gave her the position of mother, liberated her in the spiritual kingdom. And we are offering daily nice kesar pista milk here, and so delay in liberation, not even sure, uncertain whether we'll get liberated or not. And she offered poison and she got liberated. Go and ask him why you did like this. He'll say, Meri Marzi, my wish, causeless mercy, means mercy which has no cause. That's Krishna, Swaraj, fully independent. Now we are his part and parcel, so we have little independence. Why we have little independence? To be utilized. Utilized where? To love Krishna. Because love basically requires freedom. There cannot be love where there is no freedom. Love is to be chosen, not forced. Love cannot be forced. So Krishna gives us freedom. Why? So that we can choose to love him. We can't love anybody on gunpoint. If I take a gun and say, Prabhu, love me, will he be able to love me? No. He may express, yeah, I love you, don't shoot. But inside what he is thinking? Gun nikalne do dekhta hu. So Krishna has Sudarshan Chakra. On Chakra point he can't get us love him. He can't bring us Sudarshan Chakra and say, look, love me. That will not be love. So the living entity has to choose. Choose what? To love Krishna. That means some may choose not to love Krishna. That's possible. Potentially possible. Many don't do that. But some adventurous living entity choose not to love Krishna. That is called misuse of independence. They choose not to keep Krishna as the center of enjoyment. They choose to get their own enjoyment. Such living entities are sent to this material world. where you can be center of your own enjoyment. So when the pure living entity comes down to the material world, the pure spirit and matter, dead matter, they can't directly interact. It's not easy. The soul inside a material body is called Bad Atma, Jeev, conditioned soul. Why conditioned soul? Because some external conditions are put. Some freedom of activity is curtailed. Like if I am in a bird body, then I will desire to fly and I can fly. But if I am in a human body, I still have a desire to fly. But I can't fly. I mean, I can fly in the plane, but nowadays it's too risky. Gayab ho jata hai. You know, such a big thing, gayab ho jata hai. Very risky. So conditioned soul, like air condition, normal, natural air changes its nature, becomes cooler, because some conditions are put. So the normal, natural propensity of the soul to serve Krishna is changed. The nature changes temporarily. And the conditioned soul, coming in the material body, has its own activities. Now for the soul to utilize the body to interact with sense objects, there is a subtle body and there is Paramatma. The soul per se cannot directly interact with sense objects. The whole mechanism requires something in between spirit and matter, gross matter. So there is subtle body. Subtle body is made up of mind, intelligence and false ego. Gross body is made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether. So the soul is very close to the false ego, the element false ego. They both are neighbors, very close. So this false ego, by the influence of this false ego, the soul gets false identity. That I am part of this material world. This is my world. I am boy. I am Indian. I am engineer. I am son. I am brother. All this upadhi, designations, unreal false designations are provided by the influence of false ego. So when the soul, pure spirit soul, under the influence of false ego, thinks body as self, that is called bodily conception of life, in which the person is attached to body, my body. But the actual meaning is I body. We talk about it as my body, But the actual meaning is equality. I am the body. So the soul inside the region of the heart, covered by the subtle and gross bodies, misidentifies to the body and gets attached to the body, to the people related to the body, relationships, relations, family members, mother, father, wife, children, friends, other relations. Then the soul gets attached to the possessions or objects which are related to the body. And they are too many. House, vehicle, telephone, mobile, car, and everything inside the house, the cupboard, the sofa, the chair, the furniture, the drawer, the papers in the drawer, the tools in the drawer, a small pin in the drawer. These all are deeply attached. Generally, people clean their house in Diwali. They empty the whole drawer. Then whatever usable things they keep back and other things, they put it in another drawer. Next time I will use it. So that's not called cleaning, that's called transfer. Some pin, oh next Diwali I will use this. Some rubber, oh bitiya ke shaadi ke liye use kar lega. Something, they don't throw outside. Right? So that's called transfer from one drawer to another drawer. Cleaning means throwing. Throwing dirt outside. Throwing unwanted things outside. But the attachment is so heavy that one can't throw any object. Because there is hope that one day this object will be of utility to me. Next Diwali, next Janmashtami, we do that also in Sankirtan department. If some object unused is there, marathon may use ho jayega. So let us keep it once a year. So the attachment to the body, attachment to the people related to the body, attachment to the possessions of the body, then there is attachment to land of birth, the place I took birth. My India, Mera Bharat Mahan, Me Lahan. That's attachment. Then attachment to science. The progress of science is so mysterious that even if a person doesn't understand, still he is interested in. That's attachment. Then attachment to religion, so-called religion, moral dharma, moral values. So these are five main attachments, which body, relations, relatives, people related to the body, things related to the body, property, etc., including the land of birth, science, religion. Unless these five attachments are removed, the soul remains conditioned, can't get liberated, can't go back to Krishna. So a conditioned soul, in the bodily conception of life, has dualities. Dualities means two sides of the same coin. Dark, fair, white, black, profit, loss, hot, cold, honor, dishonor. So there is praise and chastisement. So when somebody praises me that you are a good boy, or somebody chastises me that you are a rascal, then I get affected. The reason is bodily conception of life. If you say somebody, you are fat, mota, then a person feels bad. Soul is not fat. The body is fat. But because the soul thinks, I am this body, so he gets affected. The person who told fat, he can't see the soul. So he can't talk about the soul. He talks about the body. And the person who hears it, he thinks, I am this body, and he is calling me fat, so he gets affected. So the living entity in bodily conception of life, when he receives praise and when he receives chastisement, he gets affected. More than that, he forms enemies and friends based on his attachments. Those who help me to keep my attachments or to help me to favor my sense gratification, they are my friends. And those who are obstructing my sense gratification, they are my enemies. So then he in turn praises his friends and chastises his enemies. So this conception of friend and enemy is very dangerous. Unless a person comes out of this conception, he can't realize the super soul in the heart. He can't realize his connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj, at age 5, was studying in school, Gurukul. So his two teachers, Sand and Amarka, they brought him back to the house after few semesters. And Prahlad's mother, she decorated the boy very nicely, bathed him, decorated him, buying nice clothes, and sent him to the father, Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so affectionate to his boy, he took Prahlad on his lap, kissed him, fondled him, and very affectionately asked him, my dear son, tell me, whatever you have learned best, you tell me. See, he gave him choice what to speak. He didn't ask him any specific question. He told him, jo aata hai, wo bolo. Imagine in your exams you are asked, what you know you write. You will be passed, you know, because what you know you write. But they are specific. So that's why people fail. So Prahlad, he replied, devotional service. He said, people in bodily conception of life, they are attached to temporary house and temporary sense objects. Such people will never get self-realization. Only those who worship Vishnu, those who take shelter of the lotus feet of Vishnu, those who engage in devotional service of Vishnu, can leave this temporary world and get liberated. Hearing this, Hiranyakashipu laughed. He said, look, this boy's buddhi is spoiled. His intelligence is spoiled. Buddhi brushed ho gaya. Because he's talking about the enemy's camp, this Vishnu is the one who killed my brother Hiranyaksha. He killed your chacha. If anybody kills a family member, the whole family is inimical to that person, obviously. So whole Hiranyakashipu's family is supposed to be inimical to Vishnu. who killed your uncle, but here you are praising him. Your intelligence is spoiled. But he didn't scold at Prahlad Maharaj, because he thought this 5-year-old boy, this can't be his own thoughts. Somebody has influenced him. So he called Sandhya and Amarkar. He said, "You brahmanas, taking salary from me, what are you teaching this boy? His buddhi is brushed. His buddhi is, his intelligence is spoiled." Sandhya and Amarkar said, "No, no, we are teaching our regular subjects how to kill, how to rape, how to murder, how to eat meat. These are demonic subjects, you know, regular demonic subjects. Physics, anyway. We are teaching regular subjects. We don't know how it got spoiled." Hiranyakashipu said, "Look, you should be very careful. These Vaishnavas, sometimes they come in pant shirt. They say we are from what? Choice. But you should be very careful. Even in disguise they come and spoil my boy. So don't allow him to mix with anybody." Sandhya Amarkar said, "Yes, we will take care." So they took Prahlad back to the Gurukul and very politely, affectionately they asked him, "Look Prahlad, your other classmates, they don't deviate, they don't speak such nonsense. We never taught this to you and we saw nobody came here to meet you. So from where you got this knowledge? Is somebody from the enemy camp coming and meeting you in our absence?" Because they wanted to know the source, who spoiled him. So somebody from enemy camp must be coming. So hearing this, Prahlad was surprised. He said, "Long back I heard from my spiritual master Narad Muni that the Maya Devi is so powerful that it creates illusion in the heart of a living entity, and the living entity thinks I have a friend and I have an enemy. This I only heard, but today I am seeing it." Like just a 5-year-old boy, he didn't have much experience of the things outside. So he heard from Narad Muni that people under the conception of life, which is illusory, they have a set of friends and they have a set of enemies. But today he is seeing it. A person in knowledge is Pandita Samadarshina. He sees everybody equally. He doesn't discriminate based on sense enjoyment. He doesn't discriminate based on profit and loss. He sees the tiger, the dog, the elephant, the dog eater and the brahmanas equally. This is what Prahlad was taught by Narad Muni and this is what his vision was. Prahlad was Pandita Samadarshina. But here his father, who is so senior to him, and his teachers, who are supposed to teach him, these teachers, or the better word for them is cheaters, they were giving opposite knowledge to what he learned from Narad Muni. So he was surprised. He said, "There is no enemy and there is no friend. This duality is because of illusion. Vishnu is our friend. He is our well-wisher. He is not our enemy. And my dear teachers, nobody came from another camp. My consciousness gets attracted to Vishnu as naturally as iron pieces get attracted to magnet." Prahlad himself is talking about his own spontaneous bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj is such a great devotee that he naturally gets attracted to Krishna. So he naturally, whenever opens his mouth, he talks about Krishna. So he says this conception of friend and enemy is not good. One who keeps this duality in his heart, the super soul residing in the same heart becomes inaccessible to this person. So how much you dial, the connection is not established. So in order for us to get in touch with Paramatma, to get in touch with super soul, we should come out of this duality. For that we have to be in mode of goodness. In the path of spiritual life, we have to progress, not stand at one place. And for that progression, eventually the dualities have to go away. If somebody happens to disturb or harm us, we should understand it's my karma. It's my prescribed, it's prescribed for me. So we should tolerate it. Krishna told Arjuna that happiness and distress of life has to be tolerated as seasonal changes, summer and winter. When we tolerate, we grow in Krishna consciousness. If we take revenge, we don't grow. We may be successful in our revenge, but we don't grow. So a devotee should be tolerant. To the dualities, he should be tolerant and should focus on serving Krishna. Tolerance is a quality in mode of goodness. Often this verse is spoken, Trinadapi Sunichena Tharoriva Shahi Suna. We should tolerate like a tree. When we cut a branch of a tree, what happens? The branch regrows. The tree tolerates, but doesn't stop growing. So tolerance should lead to growth. If tolerance is not leading to growth, then that tolerance is in mode of ignorance. That is not good. If you are getting abused, getting exploited, somebody using us for his sense gratification, and we tolerate, that will not give us spiritual growth. Tolerance is in mode of goodness, and by tolerating, we should grow. If I come to temple and it's unclean, I say, oh, I am a very tolerant person. I will tolerate uncleanliness. Tolerating uncleanliness is not mode of goodness, is mode of ignorance. Because that doesn't give growth. So just as a tree, even when the branch is cut, continues to grow, so for our spiritual growth, we should tolerate dualities. So when we do that, then our mind is peaceful. We eventually come out of this bodily concept of life, which gives birth to dualities, and a person can go back to Krishna. Okay, we will end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, we will take. Mic, back.
Hare Krishna. Puji, you were telling about tolerating in mode of goodness and tolerating in the mode of ignorance. So, many times, like even Lord Himself, though He is equal to everyone, He took the side of demigods. Though Krishna also told to tolerate, but He also told to fight. The same way, when in our spiritual life, in our day-to-day life, when we take a side or when we take a stand, how we understand whether it is for our mental platform or for spiritual platform. I mean, how we basically discriminate between tolerance in the mode of goodness and ignorance. It appears that mind is making us tell us, mind is telling us, you know, it is for spiritual growth, but it may be actually on bodily platform. So how we...
So, on the stage of our sadhana, our spiritual growth is dependent on certain parameters. Say health, say particular relationships, say morning program, say peaceful execution of services. So if these are in danger, then our growth is in danger. So if we tolerate the forces which affect our health, our sadhana, our seva, in the name of spiritual life, then we may not grow. Right? So, if our spiritual growth is in danger, and in the name of the same spiritual growth I still tolerate, then I'll become weak. So our basic dependence on parameters which give us spiritual growth have to be protected. Rest, somebody insults us, somebody speaks harsh to us, or certain thrusts, austerities and inconveniences, that we should tolerate. But we should avoid tolerating, in the sense, dangers for our spiritual life. So if fever is there, typhoid is there, and you keep tolerating, then where will be your chanting? Where will be your seva? So you'll have to remove those diseases by medication. So those parameters on which our spiritual growth is dependent, those have to be protected. So if the focus is on spiritual growth, we tolerate accordingly. If somebody is in an abusive, exploitative relationship and he tolerates, thinking that this is such humility and devotional service, then he'll end up losing faith in Krishna. So that tolerance is not good. We have a classic example of ISKCON, where child abuse happened, and they tolerated, they were helpless victims. That was not proper. That's abuse. So, if present generation tolerates abuse, the next generation history will tell that there was abuse happening, like child abuse, that brahmachari abuse bahar aa jayega, problem ho jayega. So abuses, exploitation, manipulation, somebody engaging us for their sense gratification but not Krishna's service, that are dangers for us. That will lead to weakness in our spiritual growth. So we should be alert. Okay? Like if you eat sabji, little mirchi jada ho gaya, you can tolerate. Bahut jada ho gaya, you can't tolerate. Because your tongue is alert and your digestive system will get spoiled. Right? Just as our tongue is alert to the taste, so our whole system should be alert to any non-devotional thing. Little bit, if I can adjust, fine, but more, then my whole spiritual system will get spoiled. So that we should not allow. Right? So we should be alert to the dangers of our own spiritual growth. Any association where criticism of Vaishnavas is happening, prajalpa is happening, violence is happening, diplomatic behavior is happening, we have to be alert. These are weeds. And I should be avoiding this.
I can't say, oh, I should be just humble, tolerate, sit in the room, whatever is happening. No. If Vaishnava Ninda is going in my ears, this is going to spoil my bhakti, even if I am not speaking it out. So I should know my dangers, I should be alert to my dangers, and I can't tolerate those things. Okay? Any more questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, I want to ask two things. You gave an example that if a person comments upon another person that he has a fat body, and that affects the person having a fat body, that he is under bodily conception, correct? Yeah. But don't you think it is the other way? It is possible that a person with fat body may be self-realized, but the person who comments that the other person has a fat body is certainly under bodily conception, because he sees other person from bodily point of view, not from the point of view of soul or super soul.
Yeah, so? What is the question?
Question is, you see, you gave an example that if someone comments upon another person saying that he has a fat body, and the person having a fat body is affected by that. So
he self-realized.
So, I mean, who is under bodily conception?
Both.
Both, yeah.
But it may be possible that a self-realized person is just joking with somebody else and saying you are fat.
Okay.
No?
Yeah.
So then he self-realized even though he is saying him you are fat. Prabhupada joked with his disciples sometimes. So you can't say Prabhupada is not self-realized just because he joked on bodily platform. Joked on observation of bodily platform. Like there was a small girl, Shyam Sundar, Prabhu's daughter. Prabhu was a little Saraswati. You say, he is self-realized soul. He is seeing little body. There is a soul inside. This is not little girl. But Prabhu is a little girl. So a self-realized person can say somebody fat. He is allowed to do that. Permission granted. License is there. That's okay.
Yeah. So second thing I wanted to ask. You see, we have a material body. And this eating and sleeping, you know, for the purpose of maintaining the body and soul together, it is not a bodily activity, no, as such. Is it?
It is bodily activity.
But just because we eat and sleep, can we say that we are under bodily conception?
If you only eat and sleep, if you eat prasad, that's fine. If the purpose of eating and sleeping is to maintain the body so that we can serve Krishna, then that is a liberated condition. But the way we are doing it for enjoyment of the senses, that is conditional situation. Okay? Till we have body, we have to maintain it. But the purpose of maintenance should be Krishna consciousness. Then one can be liberated from the material modes. Any more questions? Okay, we'll end here. Hare Krishna. Thank you.